Let's look at this passage of the Bible that we read this morning, that Derek just read for us. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and from verses 12 onwards. But let me pray first. Father, we want to thank you that we are all here today. We are all here because of your grace. And Lord, whether we believe in you or not, or whether we consider ourselves Christians or not, there is a truth that it is good for us to be here, and it's a blessing for us to be here. And we pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to receive your word. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work in us and in each one to illuminate our hearts and minds to receive your word with faith. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We had to buy a car recently, and it's one of those things that I dislike doing intensely. And you'd think that buying a car would be pretty straightforward, because what's a car? It's got four wheels, a motor, hopefully a door, hopefully glass and a few things like that, and some seats to sit on, and that really should be it. But even when you kind of, let alone the fact that all cars seem to be so different and there's so many cars, you know, you think, okay, I want to buy a Toyota. You can't walk into a car yard and say, I would like to buy a Toyota, show me your Toyotas. They'll say to you, what kind of Toyota would you like to see? We've got all these different models, about 10 different Toyotas or 10 different Nissans or 10 different Holdens or whatever it is. And so you might find two Toyotas or whatever that are exactly the same models. But then you look at them and they are different. They have different kilometers on them, unless, of course, you're buying a new car, but they've got different amount of Ks on the clock and they're a different condition. And you might see a car and you think, well, that looks good, and we'd go and look at it and go for a bit of a test drive in it. And as soon as you went over 60 Ks, you'd be like, no, I'm not buying this car. Feels like it's about to fall apart. Feels like the wheels are going to fall off. Let's just take it straight back to the car dealer and say, no, thank you. Or you get one and it drives nicely, but then you look on the inside and it's all sort of scratched and things are loose and it feels like the door handles are about to fall off and stuff like that. And it's like, well, not a lot of point buying this car because, you know, it's going to kind of not really last us. It's not going to go the distance. And so, and even when you find a car that, you know, is in good nick and you like the color or whatever it is that's high on your priority list, or that's got the engine size, you might settle on a car and then you go, right, let's do the family test, okay? Come on, kids, all get in the car, see if we can all fit in the car. And then it's like, can't put my feet under the back seat, or there's not enough room in the boot to put all of our stuff in. You know, we'd never be able to go away as a family or whatever, or it's too big, or I don't know. And so it's pretty difficult. And it seems that sometimes for a lot of us, actually, when it comes to church, it's a little bit like that too. Finding a church that suits our needs and our wants, I suppose, can be quite tricky. And you've probably maybe been in that situation yourself. I often meet people, obviously, who are looking for churches and looking around. And it's interesting to talk to them about what they're actually looking for. And often you'll hear comments like, well, hey, that was a really, really great church. I really like that church. But, you know, there's always something. And it's, you know, the music was too loud, or the music was too old, or there were too many kids and there were no old people, or there were too many old people and there were no kids, or, you know, the building was too big, or the building was too hot, or the building was too cold, or whatever, or we didn't like the way that the pastor was dressed or something like that, you know. And so it's really difficult, and looking around, when you look, every church is different, isn't it? And they, as you know, what they say about finding that perfect church, what do you do when you find the perfect church? What do you do when you find the perfect church, folks? You don't join it. You don't join it, will you? If you find the perfect church, you don't join it. Because it won't be perfect anymore, will it? All right? It's you just blew it if you joined that church. So, and of course, some of those differences in churches, they can be biblical. You know, they can be quite sound reasons why you say, actually, you don't like that church because they never read the Bible. I'd say, yeah, that's fair enough. If they never read the Bible, probably you don't go to that church, you know? If they don't believe in God, probably don't go to that church, you know. Or if they just, all they do is talk about money all the time, you know, it's probably not a good church to go to if they're just talking about money. Or if they want to control your life and tell everybody what to do and when to do it and how to do it and so on, and everybody dresses the same and everybody's got the same haircut and that kind of thing, and they all drive the same cars, then it's probably something a bit weird going on there, you know. But often, though, there are other differences that are kind of not anything you can put your finger on in the Bible and say, they might be just cultural things or style things or just things that we sometimes call ethos. I don't really know what that word means, but we just say it. We just say it's kind of like ethos. And so why is it? Why are no two churches the same? Well, there's a simple reason, really, isn't it? It's because every church has got different people in it. And because no two Christians are the same, are they? Okay, so you don't ever meet two Christians and you go, well, that Christian's exactly the same as that Christian, because everyone is individuals, and as we saw last week, we've all been given different gifts by God. And it's the Holy Spirit who sovereignly gives gifts to each of his people. And so that affects the way churches are too. And of course, that can be, things like that can be annoying and difficult for us to get our heads around. And it seems that there was something of this kind of question or a bit of an issue happening in this church here in Corinth. I can't remember what the slides are. Jim, you can try the next slide. There we go. Look. So here's, don't get a map every day, folks. And it's got Athens, and this is Greece, and then you've got Corinth. Corinth is on the peninsula, what do you call it? An isthmus, okay? It's a word you say with a lisp. It's spelled I-S-T-H-M-U-S, isthmus. And Corinth was situated right on this isthmus, and it was a major trading center. And, of course, it was a bustling kind of city. A lot of people went there. You had a lot of issues going on. You had a lot of immorality, a lot of idolatry, you know, a lot of worshipping of other gods and a lot of shrines and temples and that kind of thing. But there were Christians there. There was a church there. Paul, the Apostle Paul himself went there and helped to establish a church. And as this church begins to grow and as it begins to mature, we don't know how big the church was or how small it was or anything like that, but they started to experience some issues. And so they write letters to the Apostle Paul and say, can you please help us sort some of these things out? And what we have here are his responses to those. And last week we saw how he talked about the whole issue of spiritual gifts that different people have and that different people get. And so this week he carries on and talks about the fact that, and picking up from verse 7, he says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So picking up on that point, it seems that he carries on to talk about the whole thing of gifts that different members of the church have. So what does he say? We've all been given a gift. Everybody has been given some spiritual gift to use. Every Christian, no one is excluded. And we've been given those gifts for, remember that crazy spelling last week, for the congregation, okay, spelt with a C. And the Spirit gives those gifts for the church, not for the individuals, but for the church. But the thing is, we're all different, but we are to use them together. And this is what he talks about in this part here. So picking up that idea that we've all been given gifts, and they're for the common good, not just for ourselves, but for everybody, he explains how this works out in the church, where everybody is different, and yet we all are one body. You see, the problem is that if we all have different gifts, what do we do? You know, when we see people with, like, maybe sort of public or upfront or, you know, outstanding kind of gifts, we kind of go, well, you know, that's just them. They're amazing. And they, you know, they're kind of just super Christians. And I should just be like a little church mouse, you know. And I'll just go in my little corner, into my little hole, and I won't make a squeak, I won't make a sound, I won't do anything because really I don't have anything to offer like that amazing Christian, you know, because they stand up and they go blah, 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 and it just seems so amazing, you know, that they can do that. Or they just seem to be able to go out and evangelize, and they always have so many friends around and stuff like that, and people go, well, that's not me. Or other people think, well, on the other hand, it makes people proud, and they think, well, yeah, look at me, you know, I can handle it. God has really blessed me with some amazing gifts, and so I should be running the show here. You know, I should be in charge, or I should be calling the shots. And so what he does in these verses then is he sets all that straight, and he explains some things to us, and he does that by a really helpful word picture, doesn't he? And he says, guys, it's like a body. He says the church is like a body. So he says in verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the one body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, all made to drink of the one spirit. So what his starting point is this, is that there's one Holy Spirit who has baptized his people and has brought them into his family and has given them gifts, and regardless of your background, regardless of what country you came from or what country your ancestors came from or what language you speak or what color of your skin is or what the color of your hair is or your education or your gender or anything like that, he says, God has given gifts to you, but it's the same God who has given you the gifts, just as you're all baptized by the same Spirit of God. And he actually doesn't specify here whether he's talking about water baptism or spirit baptism. But his point is this, is that you're all a part of that same body. And so this first thing is this, there is a diversity. We're all different in the church. This is his first kind of point here when he talks about this. We're all different. That's the first thing we need to understand. We're all different and we're all differently gifted. And so using the body illustration, he reminds us that when you look at a body, when you look at a human body, you know, and you think of those anatomy charts, and those sort of cutaway anatomy charts, you know, like it shows what's all inside as well. You see one human body, but you also see lots of stuff, don't you? There's lots of bits and pieces, aren't there, to a body? And but they all belong to that one body, and you can't take them away, or you can't just make. And he uses this kind of crazy. It's a sort of an absurd type illustration he uses here, where he says in verse 17, he says, you know, 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? And of course, you try and picture in your mind this kind of like a big eyeball, you know, and it's like, or a big ear. Well, what's the point of a big eyeball, folks? If you were just a big eyeball, what would be the point? What would you do? You'd just be a big eyeball. Okay? And what can an eyeball do? Well, an eyeball can look, but you know, your eyeball is connected, and somebody will probably know the word for it, someone like Terry here. There's a nerve, isn't there? An optic nerve. It goes back to your brain somewhere, and then your brain sees things, and then it goes from your, you know, and your brain goes, man, I see a big power pole coming, I better turn the steering wheel that way, so you move your arms and all that sort of stuff, where I see food, I better eat it, you know. And but if you're an eyeball and you see food, you can't eat it, can you, because you don't have a mouth? Or if you're an eyeball and you see a power pole, you can't avoid it because you don't have arms. And he asks that question. He says, you know, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? You can't actually hear. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? You can't smell because you have no nose. And so he's kind of just, you know, it's like simple stuff, but he's just laboring the point there to show you that you know, if you just have one member, you don't have a body, do you? There is no body. It's kind of simple, yet it's kind of a bit philosophical, isn't it? Don't you? You know, I'm feeling like a bit of a philosopher this morning. Bit simple, but philosophical. So if you have an ear, you can hear, but you don't have a body. You've just got an ear. And so he's making that point to us that there is this diversity. And so if there's only one member, then there is no body. Verse 19, if all were a single member, where would the body be? There would be no body. Okay, you'd have parts of bodies, but no body. And as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And so, you know, sometimes, of course, we as churches, we tend to forget that, don't we? We tend to go, well, really, we should all be the same. You know, I want you all to be like me. How horrendous. Okay? Terrible. But what, in effect, what he's saying is that if somebody says, we should all be the same, you're all saying, we should all be ears, or we should all be eyes. And he says, if you do that, then you don't have a body, because you don't have different members of the body. You don't have any diversity. And of course, we know of stories. You know, this one that's been in the news recently, the one down south where they all wear blue. The guys all wear denim. Is it denim? And ties. And they all drive Peugeots. And the ladies all wear lovely long frocks. And so what are they trying to do there? They're trying to make everybody the same, aren't they? And they're trying to say, you cannot be different. If you try and be different, you're out of here. You don't belong. Because you've all got to be like our big leader or whatever. And so that's exactly the kind of thing that he wants us as churches to avoid. And so, you know, so if a body can't be an ear or an eye, and the church can't all be the same person with the same gift, what does that mean? Well, keeping that body sort of picture in mind, he tells us that we're all going to be different. So, verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but many. And he goes on and talks about how we treat each other. And he says, so if a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, what would that would not make any less part of the body? Or if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. What he's trying to say is that if you feel that you're different as a Christian, and if you sit in a room with your fellow believers, with the other members of the church, and you go, you know, I see him around there, and they all kind of different from me, and they can all do things that I can't do, and they seem to be express their faith differently, and some of them seem to be louder, and some of them seem to be quieter, some of them seem to be rich, and some of them seem to be poor, and I'm different from them. He says, you don't say, well, therefore I'm not part of it. It should be the exact opposite. What he's saying is you're just a different member of that body. You're just a different part of that body. You look different and you operate differently. And so you don't say to yourself, well, therefore I'm not a part of that body. And so it's kind of like, you know, I know it sounds really cheesy, but it's like embrace your differences, you know? Welcome the diversity, folks. But in a real way, it has to be like that. Okay, we need to embrace those differences. We need to, you know, the ear should, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body, or if the whole body were an eye, and so on. So he's saying, you know, you can't do that. You can't say, well, because I'm different, I'm not part of it. It means that simply, you are different, and you're a different part of the same body. That's all it means. And he goes on, and he gives examples of that in verses 27. through to the end. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, teachers, miracles, healing, helping, administering, different kinds of tongues. And he asks the question, and you need to, so many people miss this. You know, I don't know if you've met Christians where they go, oh, you've all got to be able to do this, you've all got to be able to speak in tongues, or you've all got to be able to prophesy, or you've all got to be able to, you know, have an apostolic authority. But that's totally missing the point. He asks the question, doesn't he? Are all apostles? The answer is no. That's the expected answer, isn't it? Are all apostles? No, they shouldn't be. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess the gift of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. That's the point, isn't it? We're not all expected to have the same gifts. And he expects us, though, as Christians, to be valued and to be involved in our church communities precisely because we are different and we have different gifts. Now, just because we're different in the second place, though, doesn't mean that we don't need each other. So the next thing that he goes on to say, or the second point that he goes on to say, is that while there is this diversity, there is also dependence. We all need each other in the church. We all need each other in the church. We're all dependent on each other. And we see this, I've got a six-year-old who plays soccer, and he's a bit like me. He's not that competitive. In fact, he tends to get psyched, you know, I tend to get psyched out when things get too intense and too competitive. I'm like, you know, this is getting a bit too intense. I'll just take a step back, you know. I was fine until it started getting competitive. I was playing all right, but And so he kind of goes, you know, we go along to soccer, and it's like, hey, the ball's over there. What are you doing over there? You know, there's the ball. And my point to him is, I don't go, you know, I want you to be a star player. I want you to, you know, I don't want you to go and score all the goals. I don't want you to save all the goals. I don't want you to dive at the ball. I don't want you to, you know, because that's kind of just not who he is. But my point to him is, hey, help your team, okay? Help your team. And so when we arrive there and it's wet and it's cold, and like yesterday the rain's driving across the field, and it's like, I don't want to go, I want to go home. Oh, I want to go home too. But the point is this, your team is out there, they're waiting in the rain as well, okay? They're all getting the same amount of rain and wind, and their parents are getting the same amount of rain and wind on them. Help your team. You're a part of a team, okay? And you can't just say, well, I don't want to be in this team anymore today because it's raining. I'll be on the team when it's a sunny day. And so the point that the Apostle Paul makes here is that while we're all different, we are also dependent on each other. And he goes on and he says in verse 21, and I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable and so forth. So what he's saying is that, you know, when you, again, you take the picture of, you take the human body, each part of the body needs the others, don't you? So the eye cannot say to the hand, is that what he says there? The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Because they both work together. Eye and hand, you know, catching a ball. Eye needs the hand. The eye cannot catch the ball by itself. The hand cannot catch the ball without seeing the ball. Isn't that true, folks? You agree with me? Yeah? Okay. No? You want to argue that one? No, that's right. It's true. Yes. So it's, you know, the eye and the, we need each other. And so just with the body, just as a body needs different parts of the body, so it is with the church. And we can't say to you, I don't need you. That's what we call independence, isn't it? What is an independent person? Saying, I don't need you. I'm all right by myself. But somebody who is dependent is someone who says, I need you. I need you. Okay? That's what a church says to itself. That's what the members of a church body say to one another. I need you. I need you. It's a bigger word actually called interdependence. It's like we need each other. We need each other. So it's not all just a one-way street. And no one can say, well, I don't need him or I don't need her or good riddance to bad rubbish sort of thing if somebody leaves or decides to go away or something like that. We don't talk like that as a church, do we? We do need each other. There is that interdependence. And he goes on and says that what this means is that those members of the church that are maybe not as presentable or nice to be around or somehow we still need them all. And he says there are delicate members of the body. He says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. What's a delicate member of the body, Terry? A delicate member of the human part of the human body? Short one. Okay. A little, what are they called? The cochlea and the stirrup. Yeah, okay. Little bones inside your ear, okay? Little delicate bones. That's right. And so. Yeah. That's right. And you've got little hairs, haven't you? You've got little hairs too inside your ears. And you know people walking around with those things stuck in your ears? It damages them, doesn't it? Okay. So we have delicate things, and it's like, ooh, don't touch that, you know, or delicate members of your, you know, like your brain. You don't sort of dig around and go, how's my brain today? I'll sort of massage it a bit and poke it and prod it like you can do with your muscles. I'll get physio on my brain. You can't do that, can you? Because it's delicate. It's soft and it's like the little bones in your ear. And he says it's the same with the church, is that maybe there are young Christians, just little baby Christians, or Christians that have a bit, you know, tender or have a bit more emotional or unsteady in their faith. It doesn't mean you can say, oh, we don't need them, get rid of them. You know, they're just weaklings, you know, put them down like Darwin would have done. You know, we don't need those people around. He says we have those parts. Or we have those parts that are less honorable. You know, stuff that maybe you don't those parts, you know, in our body we have bits inside of us that look pretty, you know. I've killed sheep and looked inside a sheep and there's bits that, you know, that, ooh, what's that? You know, a bit of lungs, a bit of intestine, all that sort of stuff doesn't look very nice. But we need it all, don't we, inside our body. And he says it's the same again with the church and those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. There are things that happen in our church, you know, the different giftings. You know, somebody needs to clean the toilets in the church. Somebody has to clean the toilet. Somebody has to mop the floor. Somebody has to put the chairs out or put the chairs away, you know. And it's just like, yeah, who wants to clean the toilets, folks? Okay. Can I have a volunteer to clean the toilets? The boys' toilets, usually it's flooded, there's soap on the floor, okay? And you've got to get in there, maybe pull some toilet rolls out of the... No, there are no toilet rolls in the toilets today. So he says, you know, it's the same, isn't it? There are things that we do as a church. And he even goes on and says there are some things that we don't even talk about, those private, like our private parts of our body. And that's what he uses here. That's not my words. That's what he says. He says there, and he says our unpresentable parts we treat with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not. So he's saying there's parts of our bodies that are, of course, under our clothes, and we want to keep them there. It doesn't mean that's because we don't need them or we think they're unimportant. He says, in fact, actually, they maybe perform a more important role. And so it is with the church as well. The different gifts that we have, maybe it's the financial giving, or maybe it's supporting people who are really struggling in our church community. Just being in and crying with someone and weeping with someone with their pain, or counseling people who are needing help and guidance and personal direction in their lives, or supporting people who are struggling financially. That's not stuff you talk about. You don't stand up the front and saying, hey folks, you know, had to go around to Jeff's place and help him out in his marriage because, you know, he and Mari, blah 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 blah. You know, we don't do that, do we? But it doesn't mean that that's not an important ministry. And so overall, the goal is not to separate the different members of the church or people in different camps, but it's rather to see how we need each other. Verse 25, he says, "But God," verse 24, "but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to that part that lacked it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." So it's not me on my own or you on your own or a little special group over there or a little special clique over here. It's all of us together. So, you know, we're all different, but we all need each other. There's a song. Anybody know of a musician called Michael Talbot? Or Talbot, however you say it. I don't know, Talbot. He has this song. I really like his song. He says, "Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. No hands with which to do good, no feet to walk upon the earth." And the point he's making is that we as Christians, we are the body of Christ, not as individuals, not me, not you, but we together are the body of Christ, and we are here to serve him. What if you're not a Christian? What does that mean for you? Well, let me tell you this. It's pretty good being a part of the body. It's pretty good being a part of the body. I remember not long after I became a Christian, I was driving in the car. I don't even know where I was driving. And I was just meditating, just thinking, musing, thinking about what it meant to be a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian now. That's pretty weird. And I didn't expect that to happen to me, you know. It's kind of like, whoa, what does this mean now? And I remember just suddenly this realization, this understanding, the Spirit of God put this in my mind, which was like, wow, Jeff, you're part of this amazing thing now. You've got all these other Christians, all these brothers and sisters that you didn't know you ever had before. People who will pray for you, people who will look out for you, people who care for you. And I just remember being flooded with this amazing sense of like, wow, that is such a wonderful thing. What a wonderful privilege to be a part of that body. And so what I'd say to you is you should be a part of that body too if you don't consider yourself as a Christian. That's something awesome. That is a real blessing that God gives to his church. So if you're a Christian, we're not talking about a little private club or anything like that. We're talking about a body. We're talking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has given each one of you something. He's given you a gift. He's given you something to use. It's not just for yourself. It's different, but it's not just for yourself. It's for everybody else. And we all together, we need each other. And we will use our gifts together because we are the body of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you and thank you for one another. It's good for us to be here today, Lord God, because it's a visible reminder of the fact that we are a body. But no two of us are the same. We are all different. And you have given different gifts to each one of us here, Lord God. But our gifts that you've given us are for one another. And so, Heavenly Father, help us to use our gifts in such a way that Jesus Christ, the King, the head of this body, that he is the one who is exalted. And I pray, Lord God, for anyone here who doesn't know that they're part of the body or doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the body, Lord God, that you would draw them to yourself, that they might become a valued member of your body. So, Lord, I thank you for each one here. Thank you for the differences that we all have. But I pray your blessing upon us as we together work to serve you with those gifts you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.